The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Be greatly blessed as you are impacted by this powerful word of God from Christ Way Ministries International. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened as you experience the power in the word of God. God bless you.
Oh, bless the Lord for the grace to stand before you this morning. And in particular, I want to appreciate Father in the Lord. He is qualified to be called Father in the Lord. But I think I'm more comfortable with Brother in the Lord. Well, to them. Yeah, so. And our dear mommy here, Pastor Mrs. Gbadi Geshin, you are celebrated. We really appreciate you, sir. The Lord bless you and bless your ministry, bless your efforts and everything that you are doing to impact lives in Jesus' name. And to the leadership of the Youth Fellowship of Christ Way Ministries International, led by Dr. Awurefa, Tolu Awurefa, a.k.a. KK. Let's appreciate him. Let's appreciate him. And every other person that is working together with him on the team, we pray that more of God's grace will be upon your life and God will take you to higher grounds. In Jesus' mighty name. I came in when Mommy Olarenye was about rounding up the message. And then the question that came afterward also, then I said, what else do I have to say? Everything has been said. because I was given the topic, the lifestyle of a soul winner. And you know that when she was presenting her message and her teaching, she had actually delved into that. And the question that came up afterward also dealt with that. However, I believe that God want to add to whatever we might have asked, and they still stir up our heart with a few things that God will enable me to say as I take the microphone. Can we pray to God? Our Father, we appreciate you once again because you are the God of heaven and the earth. We appreciate you for calling us into your purpose. We appreciate you for bringing out us of darkness into your marvelous light. We appreciate you for making us your own. We appreciate you for giving us lights, for making us to know the way, the truth, and the life, and for making us, Father, to understand eternity and what really matters in your hearts and what can make our life meaningful and profitable even as we sojourn on the planet out here. We give you glory for all these things, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for what you are doing in this meeting and what you are going to do. And what ways you are set to achieve in our lives. And then when we shall be looking back in the nearest future, we know that we are happy knowing the Lord. Lord, we pray that your name be glorified more and more, even in this meeting today, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Remember what that brother said, yo. If you are deliberately cold, remember what will happen to you. Amen. The lifestyle of a soul winner is what we'll be talking about. I like also to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 from verse 19 to 23. I'll be reading from here. Just follow me. I don't think screen is working. If you are there, say I. If you are yet to be there, say wait for me. Okay, let's wait for those who are yet to be there. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We are talking about the lifestyle of a soul winner. Though I am free, verse 19. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Verse 20, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. to those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the Lord, so as to win those under the law. Verse 21, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. Verse 22, to the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all means I might save some. Can we read that verse 20 together? One go. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. And verse 20. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessing. Amen. So winning. What is so winning? So winning is an act of redeeming people to the Lord's side. Redeeming people to the Lord's side. It is also an act of presenting the gospel to unbelievers in the power of the Holy Spirit, with a view to bringing them to accepting Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, and to nurture them to maturity until Christ is fully formed in them, so that they can bear fruit. That is when soul winning is actually completed. I hope you are writing down. Let me come again. Soul winning is an act of redeeming people to the Lord's side. The lost, redeeming them to the Lord's side. It is also an act of presenting the gospel. So gospel is a tool of winning the lost, of winning the lost to the Lord. Okay? In the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not in your own power. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who uses us to accomplish that task. It is not our eloquence. It is not our grammar. It is nothing but the power of the Holy Spirit. With a view, that is the goal, with a view of making them to accepting Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. After they have accepted Jesus Christ, because they have understood the gospel that we presented to them, you know, we do not stop there. The work continues by nurturing them to maturity until Christ is fully formed in them, so that they can bear fruit. So, soul winning is not a one-day job. It takes time to win soul. Amen. Now, I also like to remind us, because I believe we know that the Lord's desire is that every man be saved. And that is found in Ezekiel 33 verse 11. Ezekiel 33 verse 11 says that, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they might turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? So, that is the heart of God for every sinner. So, those who are sinners but are still alive, God has hope. God has plan to save them. There is no hopeless sinner. There is no sinner that cannot be saved. The worst of the sinners can still be saved. God is a miracle worker. Amen. And one of the miracles he loves to do is to save soul. It's to transform life. It's to remove the heart of stone from man and put the heart of the flesh there. Ardent criminals, I've seen them shedding tears when they hear the gospel. Somebody has shot who has smoked, whose eyes is completely dry of water. That is the power, the miracle power of God. May the Lord bless us. Amen. Amen. I want to read Acts 26 verse 12 to 19 to also make the what's so many clearer to us by the word of Apostle Paul when he was sharing the testimony of his conversion in Acts 26. Go with me to Acts 26 from verse 12. One of these journeys, I was going to Damascus. This was a persecutor of the church, a destroyer of the church. It's another miracle, a testimony to the power of the gospel. He says, one of those days, I was going to Damascus with authority and commission of the chief priest. Verse 13, about noon, O king, I was on the road. I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companion. 14, we all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the gods. Verse 15. Then I said, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus you are persecuting. The Lord replied, now get up and stand up on your feet. I have appeared to you to anoint you as a servant and as a witness to what you have seen of me and what I will show you. 17. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them. Verse 18. Pay attention to verse 18. This is so winning. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sin and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That is soul winning. Soul winning is opening the eyes of the people, turning them from darkness to light. You know, delivering them from the control of the power of Satan to God. Because what do you say of someone who is drinking every day? What do you say of someone who says that he cannot stand a day without having sex? Is under an influence of the power of Satan. What do you say of someone who is doing drugs? Okay? Now, so from turning them from Satan to God, so that God of heaven now can become the controller and the one ruling their lives, and so that they can have forgiveness of their sins and a place among those who are sanctified. And then verse 28, pay attention. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Look at that. So soul winning is persuading an individual who is not a Christian before to become who? A Christian. So you almost persuade me, but unfortunately the man was not persuaded. He was almost. Oku die. Unfortunately, he died before he could be saved. And there are people like that. So the task of soul winning is of every Christian or kingdom-minded Christian is not what we do occasionally. It must be our lifestyle. It must be our lifestyle. It's not only when the church organizes evangelism that we win so or we evangelize. It's supposed to be what we do as a lifestyle, as a kingdom-minded person. It's a responsibility that we must do because the Lord Jesus himself commanded us. He commanded us, I believe you know, that Matthew 28 verse 19, he commanded us, he said we should go into all the world, isn't it? And do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. We should go and make disciples. We should go and win soul. That is the only task he has given to us. Every other thing falls under that. So whatever you are doing, you must take it as part of your responsibility, what God expects from you. I guess many of us here are students. Many. We have those who are workers among us. Okay? Whatever you are doing, you must make sure that this is a responsibility. It was Smith Wigglesworth who said that if he's going out in the morning and he doesn't have tract in his pockets, his dressing was not complete. If he's dressing to go out and no tract in his pocket, he has not dressed up. His dressing was not complete. He has taken it to be part of his daily routine. I read of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody is also an addicted song winner. That whenever D.L. Moody is going to barb her hair, I mean his hair, when he was on heart, he will pray, God lead me to a soul today. He won't just enter into a barber shop. Yes. One day, D.L. Moody did not preach a gospel from morning to night. He went to bed. And rain was falling. And he suddenly remembered, ha! I've not preached today. He woke up. He jumped up from his bed. And he said, and he went out inside the rain, carrying an umbrella. He was looking for somebody to preach to. And it was in the night time, not in the daytime. So he met a man whose car has broken down in the process. And say, can I help you? And use his umbrella to help the assisted the man. Right there, the man gave his life to Christ. So, he said a day will not pass when he will not win a soul for the Lord. Amen. I say amen. Amen. Say, believe me, amen. Amen. Raise up your hand and say, Lord, use me. Say it again, Lord, use me. Lord, put your fire in me. Amen. Amen. Let's not think that everybody in the world is saved or people don't want to hear. Those are lies of the devil to keep us away from doing the job. Let's move forward. Why must we win so? I believe we all know this, but let us remind ourselves. Number one is that to reconcile and restore men to God, their maker, through Jesus Christ. To reconcile men to God through Jesus Christ. Number two, to depopulate the kingdom of darkness and populate the kingdom of God. Colossians 1 verse 13. Number three, so that heaven will rejoice. We give heaven reasons to rejoice and celebrate. Jesus said in Luke 15 verse 7, that is for one single soul that get converted, there is much joy in heaven. There is celebration galore in heaven. Number four, to deliver men from eternal doom. Revelation 20:15. To deliver men from eternal doom. Those who die without Christ, those who die without salvation, they are eternally doomed. They have become irredeemably lost. But so that they will not, we need to be committed to winning. So, and then number five, to make sure that Christ's suffering for the lost will not be in vain. How many of us have watched this film before? The Passion of Christ. Raise up your hand. You've watched it before. If you have not, please, I beg of you, go look for that film and watch it. You cannot watch that film and your fire for evangelism will not be ignited in your heart. You cannot watch that film and not take your own Christian life very seriously. Now, those men that acted those films were unbelievers. They were unbelievers. I read recently that Mel Gibson, who acted that Jesus, he was an unbeliever, is now saved. In fact, nearly all of them now had been saved. Those who acted that film. Right? So, God can use anybody. That's the lesson I've learned here. There was a great, when the film just came out, that would be some 20 years ago, when that film just came out, there was a serious criticism by some sect of Christians in America about the people that acted it. But see what has turned out to become. You cannot take that film out for evangelism and sinner will not cry. So Jesus died, suffered terribly, you know, so that men will not suffer eternally. And until they are saved, that suffering is awaiting them. They could be our brothers, our sisters, our fathers, our mothers. They can be our relations. You know, may God help us. Say, believing, amen.
Amen.
Why is it important that, I mean, the connection between a lifestyle, our lifestyle, and soul winning? What is the connection? Number one, before we can be effective in soul winning, you must first and foremost win yourself for the Lord. What do I mean by that? You remember Jesus said that those who will lose their life for me, they will win it. They will gain it. You must win yourself first. Time will not permit me to go to really explain that. But let me just simplify it. That when you, if you have not given your life to Christ, you cannot win others. You cannot give what you don't have. You can only give what we don't have. What we have. So if you are lost to yourself, you have not been found, you cannot win others. So it starts with you giving your life to Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want to assume that everybody that is seated here is born again. I don't want to assume. Many people are in church for so many reasons and by many factors. Some are just there to associate, to socialize, just to belong. Some are there because of their parents, through their parents. Okay? I found that trend these days that those who are born in the church, you see, they seem so, large number of them seems not to have fire inside of them like we do. I was not born in church. I was a Muslim, converted Muslim. It was salvation that brought me to church. In fact, the first church I entered when I got saved, I was pissed off. So I went back. Not went back in the sense of backsliding. I just refused to go to church and stay to do my Christianity alone. Because I found out there were a bunch of unserious people with their spiritual lives. Many young people I found there. So I went back. I stayed away. I was listening to preaching on radio. I was doing church on the air. I was connecting to preaching of Baba Obadare on the radio that time. I would stay with my radio transistor and listen. I was feeding myself through that. Until later I understand Jesus spoke to me. He spoke to me. In those days I had some serious supernatural encounters. And Jesus spoke to me the reason why I should belong to church. I should be fellowshipping church. Amen? So let us take our Christianity very serious. So if you are here this morning, you have not given your life to Christ, you cannot win others. You need to first of all give your life to Christ. And you can deceive others, but don't make sure you are not deceiving yourself. If you are not done it, do it now. Do it now. You know yourself. There is a witness in your soul that you have not given your life to Christ. Don't shy away from it. It is for your own good that you do it. Think about it. I will give you opportunity to do that when I'm praying. And then, after you have given your life to Christ, number two, you must be willing to partner with the Holy Spirit. You must be willing to partner with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to change you to a Christ-like person. You must be willing to partner with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to change you. Sometimes this thing generates arguments. It's born again. It's not born again. There are many born again people who are not living. They are born again, but they have not partnered with the Holy Spirit and have not submitted themselves to the Word of God. So we see some unexpected behaviors in their lives that make people around to question and doubt whether they are actually born again. They are. But the problem is that they have not given they have not partnered with the Holy Spirit. They have not allowed the Holy Spirit to take over their lives. We saw that example in the Corinthian church. Go and read the Corinthians. Okay? They were saved. They heard the gospel. They accepted the gospel. But you still see them do so many things. In fact, when you read the epistles, Colossians, Ephesians, you read those epistles of Paul to churches, largely it was addressing the lifestyle of believers. You see some people that will have radical transformation. The very day they got born again, everything around them just changed. But you will see some people, it will take a while, depending on individual yieldedness. But the reason why we are hearing this is that we must make up our minds. As those who have understood the counsel of God, the will of God, that God wants to use us to win others. And we must give our life to this work. We must give our life to this work. We must do it. It is a must. Paul says that a must is on me. I must do it. If I didn't do it, woe unto me. That is how serious Paul saw it. And it's also serious for us too, even in this generation. So, as people have understood, we must make sure that we partner with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God so that the change, the transformation that is expected to happen in our lives can happen. Why is this important? This is what will give effectiveness to our message. It makes our messages effective, especially among the people that know us. Are we still together? Hello, are we still together? God expects us to start our soul winning work from where? Our Jerusalem. Abi? He expects us to start from our household. In the book of John, the record of how the early disciples of Christ came up was written there. And you find out that those guys who were the first disciples of Christ, they were friends. They were all fishermen. They were brothers. We read of two brothers, James and John, whose mother came to Christ, isn't it? Okay? We read of Nathaniel. You see, they were all connected one way or the other. They were friends. They belonged to the same trade. So there is something that connected them together. So God expects us to start from where we are known before we move to where we are not known. Our familiar terrain. Your family members. Your brothers. Your sisters. When I got saved, the first thing I started to do was to write down the names of my family members, starting with my dad. I was the first person ever to be saved in my family. I wrote down their names. Every Wednesday, I will fast and present that list before God. One by one, they got saved. My father was the last person to be saved. He knew what happened between me and my dad. We became enemies because I gave my life to Christ. Brought serious persecution and darkness of 6 years into my life. Spiritual attacks here and there. But I thank God today. Amen. Amen. Now, fast forward. Many years after, I didn't give up. I was still praying for him. Though we didn't see ourselves, he has banished me from seeing him. But I was praying for him. And one day the Holy Spirit moved me to go and invite him to church. I went there. He said, no, I can't come. But I was surprised. He came the following Sunday without invited. Fortunately, I was the one that was on the roster that day to preach. I didn't know. I just did my preaching and I made an altar call and he came forward to give his life to Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Now this is where I'm going. I now ask him at the end of the service, sir, I saw that you came out. What was that all about? And he started to apologize to me that he was sorry for what he did to me. He was very sorry. I said, so it's okay, sir. He said he has looked at all the children he had. Maybe my father will have 14 to 16 children. Can't count. Said, I have checked all of them one by one. I find out that you are different. He uttered that word and I cannot forget. So, how do you live your life in your family, in your house? Jesus said you are the light, isn't it? The whole family may be in darkness, but you, your presence in that family is a great tool in the hand of God to cause everybody to see the light. So you don't live for yourself alone. Hallelujah. So it brings effectiveness to our gospel, and God expects us to start winning our family members, our brothers, our sisters. One by one, all my family members got saved. My sisters, my brothers, including my cousins. So, it's a huge challenge to us as Christians. There is a passage in Romans 2, chapter 2 that I like us to read this morning. But because of my time, maybe we may not read everything. Just let me pick a few verses there to read. But you can write down Romans 2, verse 16 to 26 when you got home. Paul wrote about some Christian folk in Rome, about their conduct and their life, by their lifestyle, we mean how they are conducting themselves, the way they are living among people. Despite that they were known to be Christians, but the way they live their lives, Paul said in verse 24 that the name of God was being blasphemed because of their conduct. He says, they were telling people not to steal. What were they doing? They were telling people not to commit adultery. They were found there. They say people should not worship idol. They were committing sacrileges. The people were looking at them, seeing these things that they were doing. And then they now speak against the name of the Lord in their lives. Abba. Abba. Maybe you are hearing me this morning. You need to repent. You need to repent. The way you have been conducting your life, the way you have been living among your fellow students. I remember as a student in those days, there used to be one natty lady that was troubling me. It was a Muslim who rose up in class one day. I remember we were in Part 3 chemistry lab in the White House. When this lady will always come to sit with me and be troubling me. He wanted me to be
her boyfriend by force. And he knew I was born again. And the people, our class people knew I was born again. So one Muslim rose one day. I said, even if you are a devil, won't you have respect?
I met that guy after many years in one of the conferences I went for in Adrekiti last year.
And I, do you remember me? He said he was trying to remember me. You know? And that fellow attacked this lady seriously. That was the day he delivered me. It was a Muslim who delivered me from her. He said, everybody in this class know that this guy is not part of us. He's different. Amen? Maybe you need to begin to repent of the way you have been living among your fellow students, your fellow workers. They want to steal in the at your workplace. You join them to steal. They want to cheat in exams. You join them to cheat in exams. You know, there was nothing they could identify in your life as somebody who is different from everybody. Then, if you now come up to say you want to preach to them, won't they begin to say, who are you? Are you also a Christian? And then your legs will be shaking. At that point, you have lost it. So you may need to rethink and change your way this morning. The Bible tells us that there is power in the way we live our lives. 1 Peter chapter 3. You know, Peter was counseling women who have husbands that were not saved yet, that were not born again. Peter was telling them in let me read verse 1. 1 Peter 3, verse 1. Wives, in the same way, submit yourself to your own husband, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behaviors of their wives. Can you see that? Can you see that there is power in behavior? There is power in the way you conduct your life. There is power the way you behave in the public. They can be won over. Don't even preach to them. Just live a good life as the Bible teaches. My late dad talked about my mother. My mother was not saved before she passed on. She was killed killed 46 years ago by witchcraft activities in my father's family. You know, but I still remember those things she used to do. My father used to drink, and when my father drinks, he will come up drunk in the nights. My mother will gather everything. Sometimes my father will vomit. I still remember. Father will vomit, and then my mother will pack everything, wash the clothes, clean the house. He will wake up in the morning and find out everywhere is neat. That is an unbeliever. Both of them were unbelievers. Now we have Christian ladies. Maybe they got born again before their husbands, and they now see their husband as a devil now. They don't see their husband as a potential so they can win for the Lord. There is power in the way we conduct our lives. There are lecturers, there are teachers in schools, there are nurses and doctors in hospitals who attend to people, lot of people. And the way they relate with them can actually be a power to save those people. One of my friends who I went to do master's degree, you know, many years ago, and she told me that, and this person he was talking about is a friend I knew. We were going to the same church before in those days. But the way he has been, attending to students as if they are not human being like himself. This lady told me that if I were not a Christian before and this one preaches to me, I will never receive Christ into my life. The way we treat people, very, very important. So our behavior can actually be it can actually be a tool in the hand of God to bring souls to the Lord. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, help me. Say it again, Lord, help me. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. There is this Bible version that I saw. Very, very captivating. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9. God sent us. That is easy English, you call it. That version. So many Bible translations these days. Easy English. God sent us a special worker to teach his message to people. But I think that he has given the least important place to us. We are like prisoners on our way to die in a place where everybody can see. Both people and angels are watching us. Look at that. Both people and angels are watching us. They are watching us. The way we are conducting our lives, they are watching us. Human beings are watching us. Unbelievers are watching us. Angels are watching us. Demons are watching us. Now, if you have this consciousness that you are being watched, what will that do for you? Excuse me? What will it do for you? Huh? It will help you to be watchful. The way you live, isn't it? It will help you to, the way you live your life, the way you conduct your life, the way you act towards people, the way you respond, the way you talk, that thing will help you a lot to check yourself. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 16, I'm just talking about scriptures that tells us that we must be careful the way we live our lives. Our lifestyle actually matters a lot. Verse 16, 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. You will save both yourself and those who hear you. So those who live reckless life, how it pleases them, they risk losing their salvation at the end of the day. So you will save yourself. You will win yourself, just like where we started from, and win others at the end of the day. If you pay attention to the way you live your life. Because if you do not live well, others that are supposed to have been born again through you, they will not be born again. And most likely, their blood will be on your head. Say, God, have mercy on me. Say, taking God, have mercy on me. I don't know who puts a video on Pastor's WhatsApp yesterday. On Pastor's, Christ with Pastor's WhatsApp page yesterday. Of a particular church. An usher was standing at the door of the church, welcoming people, smiling and welcoming them to church. And then there was this girl that dressed crazily and wanted to enter the church. And this usher said, excuse me, where are you going? The lady said, I want to enter church like this. You want to enter church like this? Please, go back home. So that you go and change your clothes. Or you don't enter this place today. Ah, so you want to come and be an agent of the devil to seduce me in this place today? You cannot enter here. So she chased that lady away. And that lady felt rejected. Felt damned. And lost herself in thoughts. While she was going, she was struck by a car. Hit and run. And that car ran away. And the lady died on the spot. What do we think that Christian, when he stands before God of heaven, the blood of that lady will be required from his head, isn't it? Let us be mindful the way we live our lives so that our lifestyle does not lock the door of heaven against others. God called us to be soul winners, and we must be committed to it. Our commitment to soul winning will compel us. We what? We compel us to live differently from people of the world. Our commitment to soul winning will compel us to live differently. If you are committed to soul winning, you will not cheat with them in exam, in that class. If they are planning evil, you will not join them at your workplace. In your community, you will live above board. We have people in our community. Every landlord, they will say, we contribute development money. And we have those who will not contribute. You are celebrated, sir. He has to, there is a wedding. I also will be joining them shortly. He's the one joining the couple for today. So you are celebrated, sir. Amma. Let's appreciate them. Amen. I say amen. Amen, amen and amen. Amen. Are you getting blessed?
Yes, sir.
Are you getting blessed?
Yes, sir.
So we must be committed to soul winning. Our commitment to soul winning will compel us to live a life that is different. Let me also tell you about Smith Wigglesworth. I read about biographies a lot during my younger day as a Christian. Smith Wigglesworth will dress very nicely every day. His shoe will be shiny. And somebody now asking one day, he said, why is, and the man incidentally was a plumber. He's not a professor, he's not a doctor, a plumber, but will dress very neatly. His shoe will be shiny. And somebody asking, aren't you a plumber? He said, I may be a plumber by trade, but I am an ambassador of Christ. Hallelujah. And you know, people say the way you dress, the way they will do what? Please talk to me. While I am not setting any rule or telling you how to dress, but if you dress well, you will know. If you dress worldly, you will know. If an unbeliever sees you the way you are dressed and they say, you are looking tantalized. You are looking sexy. You should think twice. You should look at yourself again. So, you should, when we are talking about lifestyle, our dressing is also important. Because our dressing can draw men to God or chase men away from God. Many years back, maybe that was sometimes around in 1991 or 1992, there was a fellow who came to our church that time. And then I was embarrassed. When he came up to be giving testimony that nobody preached to him. He's a big guy now. This fellow is a big guy now in UCH Ibadan. He said, nobody preached to me. He said, but there was a brother who normally passed before their house every Sunday to go to church. I like his dressing. And one day, I just decided I will follow this man, this brother. So he also went to dress and traced that person to the church. I entered the church. And in the process, gave his life. And he was saying, that brother, his brother Yinka, that was me there. I was embarrassed. There was nothing flamboyant about it. Just a pair of shoe, trouser, and a shirt. And I put on tie. Simple dressing. But you see, to me, For me, that day sent a very strong message to me. That the way I dress can actually bring soul to the Lord. The way I dress can actually be a tool in the hand of the Lord. Thank you very much. Actually be a tool in the hand of the Lord. Let me run, please. So, as I conclude, if you want God to use you, and I believe the reason why you are here is that you want God to use you, right? Can I have a witness? So, if you want God to use you, your conduct and your lifestyle must square up with what the scripture teaches. Read epistles. Epistle of Paul to the Colossians. Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. Epistle of Paul to the Philippians. Read those epistles.
it will help your understanding on how God wants you to live your life as a believer. You must be controlled by the Holy Spirit, and you must help you, you must allow the Holy Spirit to help you to cultivate Christ-like character. What do I call it? Come again. Christ-like character. Of gentleness, of being gentle with people. Huh? Being gentle with people, being caring. The brother that led us in prayer the other time touched that aspect in prayer. That being caring. You just said to somebody, maybe that you just said to somebody, oh, how are you feeling? You may need some rest. You are not looking fine. Just caring. Sharing some word of care with that person can do a lot of work. Being selfless. Christ was selfless. Okay? Loving righteousness. Let people know you are somebody who loves righteousness, who's standing for the truth. Your ways of life must be challenging to non-believers. You must be deliberate about the way you live your life. Deliberate and intentional about the way you live your life, the way you dress, the way you talk to people, the way you react to situation. You must be deliberate and intentional about all those things. You must be a friendly person. Be friendly to sinners. Don't cultivate the habit of holier than thou. That you are, when you see somebody who is a sinner, maybe by the appearance or the way the person dresses, and then you have cast the person off. No. I read in my Bible in Matthew 11 verse 19, that people actually accused Jesus that time that he was a friend of what? Sinners. He was accused that he was going to the house of sinners to eat. Who can be holier than Jesus among us here? Who? Nobody can be holier than Jesus, Son of God. Huh? Sinless and perfect. Yet he went to the house of sinners to go and eat with them. He makes friends with sinners with the intention of winning them for the Lord, making them to see the love of God. I pray that God of heaven will help us in the name of Jesus. And lastly, we must be filled with the wisdom of God. The Bible says in Daniel 12 verse 3, those who win souls are what? Talk to me. Talk to me, please. They are wise. You need wisdom. And Paul told us in Colossians chapter 4, verse number 5 to 6, that we should be wise in the way we act towards outsiders. Colossians 4 verse 5. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Verse 6. Let your ways of life be full of grace. Let your conduct be full of grace. Seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. The Lord is counting on you. He's counting on me. To win the loss for him and to his kingdom. He want to use you. He want to use me. We must live a life that is in consonance with the scriptures, and that can support the cause of the gospel. We must not allow the devil to use us to hinder the gospel. We must submit ourselves to God, to his word and the spirit, so that we can be useful in his hands. I bless you in the name of the Lord. Can you rise up on your feet as we pray? Can we sing this song?
Lord, I give you my life. I give you my soul.
Those who can sing well can help me, please.
I live for you alone. Every breath I write.
Raise up your hand to the Lord.
Oh Lord, have your way. Oh Lord, I give you my heart. Oh, I give you my
It's a song of dedication. It's a song of dedication.
I live for you. Every breath I write, oh, every moment I wait, Lord, have your way. One more time, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. Hey, I live for you. Oh, every breath I write. Oh, every moment I wait. Oh, Lord, have your way.
Dedicate your life to serve the Lord this morning. Say, Lord, I dedicate my life to serve you. I dedicate myself to serve you, to speak for you, to be an instrument in your hand, an agent of bringing others into your kingdom. I am making a commitment, a fresh commitment this month to do it, to passionately do it, to live a life that will support the growth of the gospel. Make me a magnet, oh God, to draw more people to your kingdom. You are here this morning. You have not given your life to Jesus Christ. You know there is a witness in your heart. Your conscience is telling you, you have not done it. Do it now, this morning. Do it now. Do it now. Today is the day of your salvation. Say, Jesus, I give my heart to you today. Jesus, I offer my life to you today. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my heart right now.
Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
If you are praying that prayer, raise up your hand. Come in today.
Come in to say, Lord, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Into my heart, into my Lord, into my come into my come in today, come in to stay, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus, hear the silent prayer of these your children. Their heart is longing to live for you, to serve you. And I pray as many as are praying that prayer in their hearts, Lord, receive them. Lord, receive them today, Lord, and give them a new heart. Let the work of newness of life, transformation of their heart, let it begin, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And for every one of us in this meeting today, we receive grace. We receive anointing. We receive fire. Fire in our spirits to go out there and be burning for you, be shining for you, being a good example, to be a credit to the gospel of Jesus. Lord, use us for your glory. Thank you, Father. We worship your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jam your hand to the Lord.
God bless you.
Thank you for the opportunity to be with you here today.